Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. Right now, our guest is Robert Spencer, who's the director of Jihad Watch, jihadwatch.org, jihadwatch.com. And we're going to talk about a Muslim congresswoman. In a previous discussion, we discussed Ilhan Omar. Now we will talk about Rashida Tlaib. So this incoming congresspeople in early 2019, the two of them were Muslim women, which is really unprecedented. That's historical. And Robert, welcome back to the program. Good to have you on the program.
Always good to talk to you, Jerry. Thank you.
Sure. Were they sworn in on the Holy Quran as
yes,
opposed to
were.
The Bible?
Yes, that's right.
Now, is there any incongruity with that in terms of the purpose of a person being sworn in is that they will uphold the Constitution?
Yeah, that's the first thing that's problematic about it, actually, Jerry, is that the Quran in chapter 3, verse 28, says to Muslims that they should not take unbelievers as their friends and protectors unless they're doing it to guard themselves against those unbelievers, which is interpreted in by Islamic commentators on the Quran as meaning that it is permissible to mislead and even to lie to unbelievers in order to make them think that you're on their side when you aren't, in order to protect yourself or protect Islam. So it's kind of ironic to have these congresswomen taking the oath of office on a book that tells them that it's all right to be dishonest. So it's not really an affirmation of their being trustworthy as is being sworn in on the Bible. And so that's the first problem. The second problem, of course, is that it's a further undermining of the civil unity, the civic unity in the United States. It used to be every elected official was sworn in on the Bible. And now, of course, if you can just be sworn in on anything, then it doesn't have to be any book that's considered holy by anyone. Much less the Quran. For example, there was a recent story about an official who was sworn in on a book written by Dr. Seuss, a children's book. Mm-hmm. And I think, well, this just shows the whole thing has been made into a mockery, and the beginning of that was the swearing in on the Quran.
Mm. The first case being Keith Ellerson. Pardon me?
Ellison, yeah. He was the congressman actually from Ilhan Omar's district, and then he retired from the Congress in order to become Attorney General of Minnesota, and Ilhan Omar was elected to take his place.
Okay, so what do we know about Tlaib? She is of Palestinian origins?
Yes, that's right. And when she was elected, she said that now Palestinians would finally have a voice in Congress, as if, I mean, imagine if you had somebody of French descent saying, now French people will finally have a voice in Congress. It's supposed to be the Congress of the people of the United States, not the Congress of anywhere else. But it's quite unclear, given how Rashida Tlaib has carried herself since she's been in Congress, as to whether she is there to serve the Palestinian people or the American people.
What is BDS, and where does she stand on it? And why does it matter?
BDS is Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions, and it's a movement designed to strangle the Jewish state, Israel, economically by having Western companies do just that, boycott or divest or place sanctions upon Israel and keep it from being able to grow economically. So this is something that she actually said that she and Omar both said they were against while they were running, because they thought that to come out for it would cost them electoral support. And then they both came out in favor of this movement, which is frankly neo-Nazi. The Nazis actually were the first to do this, and the first steps that they took against the Jews in Germany were to call for boycotts and to try to strangle them economically. And so this frankly neo-Nazi movement, ooh, they endorsed after they were elected.
Huh. You know, it's strange, though. I wouldn't be surprised if, she got a lot of Jewish votes, because Jewish people tend to vote Democratic despite, the political fallout of all this stuff.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I'm sure she did. because there are so many Jews who are very left, and they think that it's their responsibility to support leftist candidates and causes. This is becoming increasingly self-contradictory and incongruous, because you have not only opposition to Israel becoming mainstream among the Democrats, not just from Tlaib and Omar, but really all across the board, but also open anti-Semitism. And if any of these congresswomen are is anti-Semitic to the core, so you have the strange specter of American Jews actually supporting these people who are essentially open anti-Semites.
What do you know about Tlaib's background? I mean, I don't even know, to be honest with you, I don't even know what she has done prior to getting elected to Congress in November 2018.
Well, one of the things, well, she was, like Barack Obama, she was a community organizer. And it wasn't even in her community that she got elected to Congress. Her father, actually, for reasons unknown to me, but apparently they have a little bit of friction between the two, her father actually revealed not long ago that she does not live and never has lived in the district that she represents. But she lied about this on her application forms, or whatever forms you have to fill out when you're declaring your candidacy, and used his address. I think he lives in that district, but she never has lived with him while he's lived there. And that's a very strange situation, but it bespeaks a certain kind of contempt for the law that we see also in Ilhan Omar. I wrote a column not long ago about Ilhan Omar, where I noted that she has 24 parking and traffic violations over the last few years. Now, you know, I've gotten a couple tickets here and there, and most people have, but 24, it shows a certain contempt for the law, contempt for, I mean, this is a minor thing, but still, these things betray one's attitudes toward the governing authorities and the civic order, and in both cases, Tlaib and Omar, it's not really a good record.
It's strange, though, too. It seems like there's a double standard when it comes to the justice in this country, you know, that the left can just get away with whatever. And, you know, then if some conservative does something wrong, some slight infraction, you know, they have to pay, you know, and be justly punished for it. But why isn't the left, the members of the left, justly punished for things like that? But, okay, tell me more about Tlaib and her background. I understand she was arrested, but that was kind of like a civil disobedience type arrest.
That's a famous video that went viral recently, where she was yelling at Trump at a campaign stop in 2016, and absolutely unhinged, being led out by security while she's screaming and yelling. And what's really interesting and kind of amusing, ironically, about the video is that she's saying, "You're all insane. You people are out of your minds." And if anybody is acting like somebody who is insane and out of her mind, it's Tlaib herself in that video.
Yeah. What do you know as far as her family? When did they first come to America? Now, she was actually born here in America. Trump got that wrong, I believe, in one of his tweets.
Well, actually, he said they can. You can go back from where you came from. And the fact is that doesn't necessarily mean that he thinks they were all born outside the United States. Is she's okay. Identifying with Palestine, the Palestinian Authority, to such a degree, then going back and moving there, even if she despite the fact that she was born in Detroit, I don't think that's all that unreasonable to say. And in any case, yeah, her parents came over. I don't remember exactly when. I'm sorry. I don't have that in front of me.
Sure.
But certainly, as we have said, her loyalties clearly lie with her parents, the land of her parents, and not with the land that she was born in. And one very telling example of that is how she has repeatedly praised and been associated with and posed for pictures happily with people who are open supporters of groups like Hezbollah, Hamas, and others that are pursuing the jihad against Israel that ultimately wants to obliterate and completely destroy the Jewish state.
What's so fascinating, though, about all this is that people have fled these Middle Eastern countries to get away from radical Islam. And then you see people like this, that here she is, a leader in the United States of America. I mean, a congressperson. That's not an easy position to get, an easy seat to win. And she seems to be not very pro-American, to be quite honest.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I think that's true of both Omar and Tlaib, and that they were elected in from areas where there simply isn't that kind of allegiance to the United States. And it sounds very harsh, but this is the reality. Of course, Omar, as I'm sure you discussed when you had the show on her, congressional district is the center of jihad terrorist recruitment in the United States. More jihad terrorists come from there than any other place in the country. And I don't think that that is an accident, that you have it bespeaks an area where there's a lot of anti-Americanism, and I think that's one of the reasons why she was elected. And it's the same thing with Tlaib. Of course, there's a high concentration of Muslims in the Detroit area, and so they probably, her brand of anti-Americanism and criticism of counterterror measures, and of course her vicious hatred of Israel, that all plays very well in her own district.
Mm. Okay, what about the rudeness? I mean, for example, I don't know Islamic teaching the way you do, but doesn't Islam teach people to be nice and kind and love your neighbor as yourself? I guess not. But I mean, for example, when she said famously, you know, we're going to impeach the effer, talking about President Trump. And why? Oh, because Trump won. I mean, honestly, what has Trump done that he deserved to be impeached? But anyway,
well, the whole impeachment thing is absolutely hysterical and is based on the idea that really no government, unless it's run by leftists, is legitimate. And this is increasingly the view of the left in this country. But, Rashida Tlaib is under no compulsion, as far as her own belief system is concerned, to be kind or generous or magnanimous or friendly to unbelievers. Of course, I'm sure she is to those who support her. But when she uses that kind of language with Trump, regarding Trump, and when she is venomously hateful in other ways, it's actually in line with the Quran. The Quran says that Muhammad is the apostle of Allah. Those who follow him are merciful to one another, but harsh to the unbelievers. That's chapter 48, verse 29. And chapter 9, verse 73 says, fight the unbelievers and let them find in you a harshness. And this is what I think that Tlaib is embodying. Also, there are some things, I can't even mention them, I can't even quote them on the air, but there are some statements of Muhammad, the prophet of Islam himself, when he is actually telling Muslims how they should speak to their adversaries or perceived adversaries. And he tells them to speak to them in, frankly, in obscene terms. And so this is quite a very different spirit from the statements of the Lord to turn the other cheek and love one's enemies.
Yeah, one of my favorite books you ever did was The Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam, and where you compare the teachings of Muhammad with the teachings of Jesus. We have half a minute to go. Is this a trend, you know, for the future as far as more Muslim congresspeople and so forth?
Yeah, no doubt. There's a concerted effort to put Muslims in power now. There were 80 Muslim candidates in various offices around the country in 2018. There are going to be many more in 2020, and we're going to see a whole lot more Rashida Tlaibs and Ohan Omars in the Congress, in the Senate, everywhere.
Oh, my goodness. And by the way, there's also a Muslim man that got elected, too, whose name escapes me. But
Andre Carson.
Yeah.
He was actually there already. He was reelected.
He's
much quieter than the other two, but he has multiple ties to Muslim Brotherhood groups and is ultimately just as insidious as they are.
Wow. Okay, Robert Spencer, again, jihadwatch.com. Robert, thank you. Always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure. Thank you, Jerry.
Sure. Bye-bye.